Well, as I said, I'm preaching a one-off topical sermon, and I shall be using those two passages, but other passages of Scripture as well. And the subject is work. Work. What reaction did you have to the thought of a sermon about work? Or if you're younger, use the word study, school. Does the thought of work get you up and out of bed early in the morning? The alarm clock goes off and you think, work, let's get up. Or does it have you laying in bed, snooze, snooze, snooze? Does the reality of work keep you up late at night so that you don't go to bed? Just finishing off that last email. Get that project sorted before I turn in. Does it get you up or does it keep you up? Work. Is work good or is it bad? Is it better to overwork or to underwork? Well, that's a bit like saying, is it better to overeat or undereat, isn't it? I mean, either way, it's bad for us. We need to balance our diet and we need to balance our work. The question is, how can we do that? That's what I want to address in this one-off topical sermon. How can we have a healthy but realistic approach to work? I've got two big ideas and some sub-points to give you. The first and the most important is this. Work is good. Okay? Work is good. And we see that in the book of Proverbs, these wise sayings about how to live a healthy and productive life, because they have a very negative view about laziness. The Proverbs are constantly calling us to work. We saw that in our reading, didn't we? Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? Will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. Laziness is painted as bad because activity, work, is painted as good. You see that throughout Scripture. Work is good, so don't be lazy. Don't underwork. Proverbs 10:4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. 12 verse 14, from the fruit of their lips people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. A little later on, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. The Scriptures give us a positive view of work. Now, which of you remember the O2 advert calling us to be more dog? Remember that advert? It was around, I think, about a few years ago. Well, regardless of that, the Scriptures call us to be more ant. So, I want you to put that in your notes. Be more ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Be more like the ant. Inwardly motivated to work and be productive. And the Scriptures don't just talk about grunt work, labour, hard work, getting food on the table work, but they also talk about quality work. Quality work is good. In Proverbs we read, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. quality work is good. We see that in the building of the tabernacle. Do you remember when the children of Israel came out, they had to build a tabernacle that would be a portable place to meet with God. And then you might say, well, it's portable. Keep it basic. Yeah? Just go basic timber, basic, you know, nothing too. So we've got to keep packing it up, moving it on. Let's just functional temple, functional tabernacle. But we don't read that. We read that Belalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord had put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. They had skill. There was embroidery. There was artwork. There was so much labor and detailed work in the design of the tabernacle. Work is good. Good work is good. Quality work is good. So be a craftsman. Be a craftswoman in all that you do to the glory of God. Work is good. And that shouldn't surprise us, because we are made in the image of the greatest worker, the most skillful and creative worker of all, aren't we? We are made in the image of God. And we read in Genesis 1 that God blessed Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You've got a mandate, a reason to work and to look after this great garden. Chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. Now look, that was never just about agriculture. That was never just about keeping an allotment. It was much more. It was about creativity. It was about development and expanding out to take this initial prototype garden and to expand it to fill all of the earth, to develop with all aspects of art and engineering and all sorts of systems of design. We are created in God's image to be co-workers with him in that great cultural mandate. So work is good. Everyone here has been made in the image of the worker, and everyone here has got work to do in this great cultural mandate. Had you forgotten that, or are you still remembering that's why you're here? And that means we need to be very careful not to hold this sacred/secular divide that's often infected Christian thinking. That there's only one type of work that really matters, and everything else is just there to pay for the really important work. That's not biblical. The idea that gospel work matters and everyone else is just paying for the gospel work, that's sub-biblical. We also need to be aware of the danger of the paid/unpaid divide. Paid work matters, unpaid work doesn't. That's not biblical. All work matters. Because if it's done for the glory of God, it's done and is important in that great cultural mandate. So we need to be careful not to think of work simply as one type or with a paycheck. All work matters. I'm assuming that none of you here are running a drugs cartel. This was something that the 16th century reformers rediscovered. This is Martin Luther speaking. The works of monks and priests, however holy and arduous they be, do not differ one whit in the sight of God from the works of the rustic labourer in the field or the woman going about her household tasks. But that all works are measured before God by faith alone. So, I don't know what you're doing tomorrow. It may not attract a paycheck. It may not be great and glorious. But I want you to see that you have been made by God to play your part in the great tapestry that is the great cultural mandate to develop and make the world work. manual work, mind work, art and design work, science and engineering work, care work, people work, systems work, admin work, all sorts of work, even church work. All of it is done and can be done for the glory of God. So if you feel rather insignificant, if you think, my little job, no one notices, God does. God sees your work and God will value it if it's done for his glory. We've heard a lot, haven't we, recently about supply chains. Suddenly HGV drivers have become very important, haven't they? Without HGV drivers, you don't get your stuff. Someone's smiling. Yeah. Maybe you weren't seen as important before. God sees your work even if others don't. Maybe you're a small cog in a big machine, but you can do that for the glory of God. So the big idea I want you to see is that work is good. Be more ant. Don't get hung up on whether you're being paid or not. Don't get hung up whether it's a big idea or not. Play your part and fulfill your calling. But work is good, but now it is much harder. This is so important for us to understand. Work is good, but now it is much harder. If you take a flight from New York to London, it will take you 7 hours. New York to London, 7 hours. But if you take the same flight back, following the same route, it will take you 8 hours and 15 minutes. Huh? Same journey, opposite way round, takes you much longer. Do you know why that is? It's because of something called the Atlantic jet stream. It's a high wind that blows from west to east, and it means that aeroplanes flying to America fly against this headwind that is making it so much harder. Yeah? You got that idea in your mind? Well, all of us are made by God to work, but now we work against a headwind. We work against a headwind. And that's because after Genesis 1 and 2 comes Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, we're told that because Adam and Eve disobeyed in the garden, ate of that forbidden fruit, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will now surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all your days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We have within us this desire to do something. It's in us because God has put us in us. We all want to be creative. We all want to play our part. And then we say, so why is it so hard? Because of the headwind. Because we now live in a Genesis 3 world. Creation has been cursed. And that means that if you're involved in agriculture, not many of us are in the city, but you don't get a good crop yield now. We have to deal with soil depletion. We have to deal with thorns and thistles. We have to deal with all that works against in the food supply chain. Some of you have grown up and lived in parts of the world where this is so much more visible. Food production is harder. Basic survival is harder. The climate is against us. We see that, don't we? Work is harder because the fall and because the creation has been cursed. We see that in our hospitals. We see that in our care homes. Ill health, disability, because of the fall. It affects so much more, doesn't it? I remember years ago being involved in an engineering project to build something in Scotland. We had to build against the risk of earthquake, against the risk of flooding. It was so much harder if only the ground would stay still. Sometimes work is much harder because creation has been cursed. Maybe you see that in your world. Perhaps more visible, work is harder now because we are all sinners. And so we don't all play by the rules. We've got friendly fire. We've got people against us in our work. Do you have office politics where you work? That's because of the fall. We're all meant to be on the same team, but we're not, because of the fall. Do you have people that don't work hard, who are lazy? That's because of sin. Do you have people trying to undermine you in your work? That's because of sin. Just think of the decorator who goes the extra mile to decorate the school hall. And then he comes back 2 weeks later and there's graffiti all over it. That's hard, isn't it? Or the accountant that labours and labours to balance the books and then 2 months later the boss has embezzled the money. Or the teacher who stays up late marking and correcting the work just to see the children toss the book without any concern. Our work is harder because of the headwind of the fall. But I want you to still see that highlighted. Work is still good. You're still flying in the right direction, but you're doing so against the headwind of the fall. Just think how much of our work is simply around to prevent sin or to clear up after it. I used to work as a prison chaplain, and sometimes I used to think how much money goes into just keeping these guys from killing each other. How much money goes into trying to find ways of stopping them from breaking the rules. Just imagine there was no sin. No police force, no armies, no locksmiths. Just imagine the difference of our world. How much more creative and productive we could be. But work is harder. Remember that when you go out tomorrow. Otherwise you may be overwhelmed and want to just stay in bed. And if you are tempted to stay in bed, please think of what it would be like if you didn't do that job. Just think how broken our world would be if we weren't preventing sin, if we weren't mopping up afterwards. Keep pressing in there, in that school where you work, or that hospital, or wherever that area of resistance is. Keep working in there, because it would be a lot worse without you. Creation has been cursed. We are all sinners, and we are weak. There is just that frailty of humanity, isn't there? People say they'll do something and they forget to do it. Do you know that feeling? I remember one time going away and realizing my co-worker hadn't brought the memory stick, back in the days without fast internet. And we were about to give a presentation and it wasn't there. He'd just completely forgotten. So we had to rush around trying to make the best and create a new presentation. Of course, I remembered that when I was preparing, but I'd forgotten all the times I had forgotten to do something. When I said I'd do it and I was being over-optimistic, when I got the wires crossed and thought you meant that, it's just frustrating, isn't it? Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because tomorrow, or the rest of today, we'll carry on with the work God has given us, paid or unpaid, snazzy or not, and we'll be tempted to think, this is not working. But it is, but it's hard, because creation has been cursed, we are still sinners, and we are weak. So will you pace yourself this week? Factor in the headwind. Work is good. Be more ant. Don't give up, but remember the headwind. But secondly, the big idea, work is good, but work is not God. Work is good, but work is not God. You know, Descartes' dictum has been spun off in many ways, hasn't it? But one of them goes like this: I work, therefore I am. And the Proverbs teaches of the danger of allowing work to become too important. This is part of the disfiguring of the fall. Proverbs 3, we're told, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Always put God first, not work. Christian preacher from the past said that even Christians have hearts that are idol factories. We're affected by the advertising all the time. And we can so easily make an idol out of our work. Do you know you can make an idol out of church work? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I want to encourage you that work is good and is hard, but be aware of the danger. Work is not God. If you put your hopes in your work or your aspirations for work, you will be disappointed time and time again. Workaholism is a problem for Christians as well as non-Christians. So what is the most important thing? Well, we had that in our reading that Adisa gave. Which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus said the most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, do you love your work? Some of you will say yes. And I will say good, because work is good. But then I will say, be careful not to let that love grow greater than your love for God and your love for others. But of course, everyone here is going to agree with me that work must not become God. How can we tell if it is becoming God? How can we tell if we're being influenced by the advertising without realizing it? Well, I want to give you three warning signs that you need to test yourself and others that you love to see if work is becoming a God. The first is when it becomes our identity. Is what you do who you are? Can you not wait to tell people because you feel that will make you feel important in their eyes? I told you this story before, but this happened to me. It crept up on me about 15 years ago. I had agreed to leave my job and to train to become a Baptist pastor. It was agreed by my family, my church. It was agreed even by my boss. And I had to send an email formally resigning my post. And I couldn't do it. I knew that as soon as I sent it, I wouldn't get the job back. I was a university lecturer, and the status of that had become far too important in my thinking. And when push came to shove, even though I would have said, oh, I'm very happy to give up my job and go off to train to be a Baptist pastor, when I had to do it, I couldn't. It was shocking. For 2 hours I walked around the gardens at the university. I can't do this, Lord. What is going on? And I realized that my identity was in my work. And I was about to give that up and become a Baptist minister. What's that? I had to repent. And I did. And I sent the email here. It's very subtle. Imagine that God takes you away from your work. How will you feel? Will it feel like the end of your life? Imagine that you don't tell anybody what you do. Are you happy just to be who you are without that work affirmation? What about when it comes to retirement? Is that the end of your life? Because now who are you? Work becomes a god when it becomes your identity, and you can't function just as happily in this job or that job, with this pay or without that pay. Try it for a week. And try not to tell people what you do or what you did. Be careful. Work can become your identity. Hold it in an open hand, as we heard a couple of weeks ago from Phil. Work is good. Work is hard, but it must not be God's. Is it your identity? But secondly, another telltale sign is when you fail to rest. Why can some people not rest from their work? Because work is a god, and this god is overbearing. Just think of your work. When is it done? All the emails cleared, and guess what? Another one pops in. All the reports written, but then there's another one. All the projects, but then there's that other one. This work, if it's God, it never rests. There's always more. And the next one is a carrot. It's the better one. But if you do this, this is going to give you the big lead. Yeah, this is the one that's going to, yeah, I mean, it's, the other stuff was just routine, but this, I need to stay up for this one. If we fail to rest, it's probably because work has become a god. But I've got good news for you. You've been made in the image of the true and living God. And guess what he does? He rests. He makes it clear that he works 6 days and then he rests. Why? Because he says to you, work and then rest. You have my permission. I am leading the way. To have a boss that commands a day off. Wow! Wouldn't you love a boss like that? You have a boss like that. That is our God who gives us a day and says, just rest. I've got it covered. I'm running the universe. You can rest. And you say, no, I'm running. No, you're not. You're not. Okay? Believe me, you're not. God is running the universe. You can rest. Go home. Take a day off. Gather with your church family. Switch off those emails. And just rest. And then tomorrow, be more ant. Get up, get on. There are so many studies that show that rest is good in all sorts of physical ways, even cognitive ways. A few hours rest and going back to work, you're more productive. There are so many studies because God has made us with this need to rest. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and so I'm asking you, how are you doing with that? Even today, are you planning to quickly zip back to your work? That's a sign that work has got out of balance. I know it's hard in a secular city. I know it's hard with shifts. I know it's hard. And if you're a student, remember this, your student, your work, study ethic becomes your work ethic. See it time and time again. If you study, you'll end up being work, work, work. So, work is good, but it's harder because of the fall. Work is not God. It cannot be our identity. If we fail to rest, it's a sign of it becoming too important. And thirdly, if we find ourselves cutting corners, if we find ourselves needing this work so much that we'll turn a blind eye to unrighteousness, beware. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. 14:31, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor. Do not crush the needy in court. 22:22. Is work so important that you'll do anything for that promotion? Is work so important that you'll squeeze your customers to get a little bit more profit? Is work so important now that you'll do things that you would have stood against years ago? Will you pay fair wages even when your competitors aren't? Will you make sure you're ethical in all that you do? Or has work now become God and you live to the standards that it demands of you? Beware. Work is good. We've been made in God's image to be productive in many ways. But work is now hard. Never let work become your God. Don't let it define you. Don't let it rob you of rest. And don't let it make you cut corners. Now, as we finish, I just want you to do one thing with me in your minds. I want you to imagine tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off and you're thinking, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? I want you to think ahead to the restoration of all things. What do I mean by that? I want you to think to the day when Jesus has come back. Because of his work on the cross, he will come back and he will redeem the whole creation. That curse that we read about in Genesis 3 will be gone. You will be able to work for God without any headwind. Just think about that. No headwind, no idol factory in your heart. No people on the same team working against you. But as you were made without the fall, you will be able to serve God and others. What will you do? What do you think you'll do? What would you love to do? I want you to think about that so that you do get up and you do go through that morning routine and you do push against that headwind. And you do end work because you know that you're doing this in a fallen world until the day comes when there'll be the restoration of all things. Your work may be very frustrating, may be very difficult to you, but it won't always be if you're a Christian. Let that fill you with gratitude and let that motivate you to press on and work well tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for making us in your image, the master crafts person of God of all things. And Lord, thank you that you've given us meaning and purpose in the things we do. But Lord, how hard it is in a fallen world. Even the good things you give us like work can become gods. Oh, Father, please help us to see through to the day when you will restore all things. Some of us maybe haven't been able to work because of ill health. Some of us are still looking for work but can't find it. Some of us are in hard places. Some of us find it so hard to switch off. Oh, Lord, help us to have this proper balance, to have a healthy relationship. Lord, some of us don't get a paycheck and feel that our worth is valueless. Lord, help us to see that whatever we do for you is valued. The paycheck is merely a means to keep life moving. Oh, Father, please show us. Help us to be biblically productive, biblically restful. We pray, Lord, that you'd show us this way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.